Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Removing father and mother from the New York lexicon of politically correct speech. Now, what's its gestating person and non-gestating person? Where's that going? These people get crazier every day. The Senate is trying to take over the executive, attempting to wrest foreign policy from the control of our president. 19 Republicans join all Democrats to send more American tax dollars to Ukraine. They're trying to take the helm of foreign affairs from Trump and run it by committee. Well, everybody's talking about election integrity, and so while we're on the topic, let's look at what's going on in California right now. Now, here's some bizarre news out of California. Quote, military training operations continue in Los Angeles County neighborhoods, end quote. What? The IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, keeps proving it is not a trustworthy negotiator for any kind of deal with America. Apparently today, June 5, 2026, the Pentagon reports U.S. forces boarded another sanctioned oil tanker. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
So, removing father and mother from the New York lexicon of politically correct speech is further evidence of the insanity of the Democrat Party. It's going to be gestating person and non-gestating person. What's that? The nonsense is confusing. Even the chaos masters can't get it straight. Tell me, can a man gestate or not? Make up your mind, will ya? If a man can give birth to a child, then how can you refer to a male as non-gestating? Are they going to change Mother's Day to Gestating Person Day? And Father's Day will be Non-Gestating Person Day? Are the kids going to be taught to refer to their mothers as gestating person? Will they say, good morning, gestating person? I would like my eggs to be scrambled today. When daddy comes home, will the little ones run to greet him squealing, non-gestating person is home, non-gestating person is home. Let's talk about the war against the people. The Senate is trying to take over the executive, attempting to wrest foreign policy from the president. Patriots want to protect election integrity and attempt to include the Save America Act in the reconciliation bill. But four rhinos, the same four as before, defeated Senator Kennedy's amendment to include the following core provisions of the Save America Act in the reconciliation bill. Proof of citizenship to register, photo ID to vote. And yet Susan Collins, Republican Maine, Lisa Murkowski, Republican Arkansas, Mitch McConnell, Republican Kentucky, and Tom Tillis, Republican North Carolina, oppose including them in the reconciliation bill. I saw a two-headed snake at the LA Zoo some years ago, and I thought, looky here, a snake assembled by committee. Must have been made by Congress, since it can't decide which way it wants to go. Now, I respect and applaud Mike Johnson's courage to try to get this thing done for the American people. And that's the Save America Act. Nevertheless, the reconciliation path requires that whatever is included in it be directly related to the budget, and that's the excuse these guys are using to oppose it. Now, maybe they could have included in the Save America Act special funding for enforcement of the act. These guys are smart. They could have come up with something. But with current parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough, it's unlikely that anything related to the Save America Act would be allowed. For example, the Congress has ruled against using tax revenues to fund abortions already. Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, includes funding Planned Parenthood, which uses money to fund abortions. Now, Elizabeth McDonough, the parliamentarian for the Senate, she disallowed a provision in the 2017 reconciliation bill to remove funding from Planned Parenthood on the grounds that it violated the Byrd Amendment that requires anything included in a reconciliation bill be related to the budget. She disallowed it because, in her opinion, it was a policy issue. But listen, friend, all funding is policy related. The question was whether the Affordable Care Act, ACA, could be used by baby murderers to fund the shedding of innocent blood with tax revenue. She injected herself into this one on the side of policy when the issue at hand was conformity to current law, the Hyde Act, no tax money for murdering babies. Elizabeth McDonough invoked the Byrd Amendment to protect budget abuses under the Hyde Act, preventing Congress from correcting an abuse of the current funding law in its reconciliation bill. It seems to me Lizzie either got lazy or, more likely, I suppose, she cares more about protecting funding for Planned Parenthood's regular violation of the sanctity of life and the sanctuary of the womb than she does providing security to the taxpayer who provides the budget. We're the ones who pay the bills, Lizzie. By allowing Congress to protect the sanctity of our elections in the sanctuary of the voting booth, she would then preserve the rightful authority over distribution of tax funds. Anyway, she would use the Byrd Amendment to contradict the Hyde Act. The House passed the reconciliation bill, and the House parliamentarian, Jason Smith, declared no objection to including the Save America Act or some of its provisions in the House reconciliation bill. Now, I understand that the House rules are different from the Senate rules. I know that. The Byrd Amendment is a policy that governs only the Senate. Yeah, I got that. The House parliamentarian, however, does evaluate bills relative to the law and must have anticipated that this challenge would come up in the Senate. While the House parliamentarian would not be expected to rule on the bill's agreement with the Byrd Amendment, nevertheless, he is a parliamentarian and serves the House and would likely have evaluated whether it would pass constitutional muster and also would have given some consideration to the Senate rules in his advice, I suppose. Maybe Jason sees what I see. Maybe he does not think an effort to protect the sanctuary of the voting booth and the sacred right of we the people to decide who holds power in this country and spends our money was insufficiently ancillary to the reconciliation bill and budget concerns, since, after all, we are talking about protecting the interests of those who pay the bills. I guess he figures the people whose money is being spent have a right to decide who spends it, and so must have access to free and fair elections to decide who spends their money. Yeah, I think that would be germane to any budget considerations. In fact, I would argue that it is the number one budgetary concern. Jason just might be a we the people kind of guy, and Elizabeth, it appears, is a we the Senate sort of person. Maybe these Republicans who voted to bar inclusion of the Save America Act elements are fearful that if their boss, the people, are actually able to exercise their authority freely through fair and honest elections, well, that would somehow be a threat to their power. Maybe they see it as a threat to their seat at the thieves' table. Maybe people like Mitch and Tom, who are on their way out anyway, I just hate America and despise the principle of consent of the governed, yay? Maybe it's just another example of TDS, you know, Trump derangement syndrome. Anyone suffering from this syndrome cannot reason on the basis of right and wrong, good or evil. Everything is cast into the categories of something Trump wants, so I don't. Something Trump doesn't want, so I do. Simple as that. Their ego is so fragile that they feel a total loss of self and presence in the world and the universe if they support something Trump wants. And their rationale is limited to that one criterion. Trump wants it, I don't. Trump doesn't, I do. Here's a simple example that makes this easy to see. Fired former Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton was indicted on 18 counts of mishandling classified information. He has agreed to plead guilty to one count of retaining classified documents. He will pay $2.25 million in fines and penalties and faces a possible 5-year jail sentence, unless his attorneys can convince the judge to impose a lesser jail term. These are the straightforward facts, but Reuters, et al. Present the case as against John Bolton, the victim, the persecuted one, and, you know, the Trump critic, and they frame it entirely around the idea that Trump's DOJ is casting out all precedent and using the government to get vengeance on his critics. This is outrageous. We know it's the exact reverse, but we're getting used to it. My audience knows, surely, what happened during Trump's first term. They were here. The coup against a sitting president orchestrated by Hillary as a campaign slur with manufactured accusations of collusion with Russia And I mean, it was a totally fabricated story. I mean, just made up. When Trump won, Obama picked it up to use it in a coup attempt against a duly elected and sitting president, you know, elected by we the people. Obama's, Hillary's, Brennan's, and Comey's fingerprints are all over this thing, followed by the outrageous theft of the 2020 election and the continued persecution of Trump and his family through the Biden usurpation, going so far as to literally manufacture laws, create them out of nothing to use against him in that stupid loan fraud case, and on it goes. And attempting to indict Trump for abuse of classified documents when he was president, for heaven's sake, and had full legal access to all classified documents with plenary power to classify and or declassify at his sole discretion. And yet, these macaroons are trying to hogtie the Trump administration and our present DOJ so it cannot serve justice on actual criminals. Whether they are his so-called political enemies is entirely beside the point. The question is, did they do the crime? And if they did, then they must do the time. And here we see they're still at it. The Democrats are the most corrupt, corrosive influence in culture and in politics today. They pervert judgment and justice in both directions, using it to violate justice by misapplication of its power against the innocent, and then, on the other side, interfering with the just application of its power when used against the evildoer, the guilty. Now, God ordained the power, Romans 13, for the execution of wrath against the evildoer. So, we're supposed to be a government of, by, and for the people. The first three words of the Constitution are, we the people. We the people pay the taxes that fund the government. The money belongs to we the people. We the people have the right of consent regarding who collects and distributes the money of we the people. These yahoos, and I would include Schumer along with the entire Democrat Party, with the occasional exception of Fetterman, and all rhinos, these people are opposing we the people. They are fully aware that we want proof of citizenship. What is it, 90%, 95% want this? We want proof of citizenship. We want voter ID. We want rolls that are purged of non-citizens or anyone lying under a tombstone. And it's better to err on the side of protecting the integrity of our elections and our right of consent than it is to allow non-citizens to vote or facilitating cheaters to cancel the votes of actual citizens. Because that's what happens. Every illegitimate vote cancels a legitimate one. We need an election system that guarantees that the United States citizens are deciding elections, not foreign invaders or party ideologues cheating for their team. And those who use these illegals to gain power over the system, power over the people. Instead of power of the people, it's about power over the people. With the Democrats and rhinos in the U.S. Senate, it's not we the people, it's we the almighty Senate. We don't want mob rule, whether the mob boss is a cabal of senators committed to protecting their jobs and their private agendas, or a consortium of anti-Trump Democrats, which sometimes cross over, by the way. It's we the people, friend. At the bottom line, I congratulate Mike Thomas for taking bold and courageous action to protect governance by we the people. I despise the cowardly lion, Toon, who refuses to do the courageous thing and whip the Republicans into service to we the people. End the filibuster before they do. Get the Save America Act passed and let we the people decide who runs this country. Hold on to the break, my dear friends. I'll be right back.
I appreciate all of you who joined me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the
air. Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Now, while we're talking about election integrity, let's take a look at what's going on in California right now. The results, as of 64% of votes counted, has Bass at 35, Pratt at 29 for the L.A. mayoral race, And then with 60% of the vote counted, statewide, we have Steve Hilton at 27.2 and Becerra at 26.0 and Steyer, whatever his name is, at 20. Our friend Bianco is at 11. Now, that was this morning. Actually, there's an update here. This evening, Becerra has edged out Hilton by a fraction. It's 26.7 versus 26.4 with Steyer at 21. So let's see. As votes continue to be counted, Steyer moved up 1 point. Becerra moved up a little over a point and a half, and Hilton slipped almost 1 point. We've all seen this before, you know. Now, I know California law allows any ballots received after Election Day to be counted so long as they are postmarked on or before Election Day. However, the universal mail-in ballot system is simply too vulnerable to fraud, especially with corrupt election registration and voter rolls full of dead people and all that junk. Now first, most states count their entire election within hours of polls closing. Why is California so backward that it cannot count ballots in a timely manner? Florida counts 10 million votes in a single night. California takes weeks. Second, two factors cause delays, creating room for voter fraud to skew election results. The universal mailing of ballots distributed to everyone on the list without any vetting, and the Dropbox system, which can allow deposits after polls close at some Dropboxes. These ballots do not have to be time-stamped, and there is no mechanism that automatically time-stamps inserted ballots or closes and locks the boxes at 8 p.m. That could be done. Let's clamor for that one. Let's see how they respond. The other issue is signature verification. If we're going to use mail-in ballots or Dropbox-delivered ballots, well, then signature verification is necessary. Someone ostensibly trained in identifying a signature match examines each ballot envelope before the votes in that ballot are counted. And this is the first-level evaluation that is done by machine in some counties. There's a software that would be programmed with signatures on record and, you know, sort of like face recognition, zip through the comparison samples quickly, sift out those where there is a question, and then have those looked at. But no, many of the counties have a person sitting there examining every ballot against samples from the voter registration card, DMV records, or other election records. If the signatures don't match, there is a cure process. The voter is notified and given an opportunity to submit documentation confirming their signature. Now, this involves a signed affidavit or a signature verification statement. And the point is, at no point is the voter required to prove anything. If they know they're voting in place of someone who has died, well, they know no one's going to challenge the vote. These people are allergic to providing proof of identity. Why? Oh, there's a third issue contributing to major vulnerability to fraud in California elections. California does not allow a single vote to be counted until after the polls close at 8 p.m. on Election Day. Most states count early and mail-in votes before the election. That's anyway, this whole thing is crazy, but we are ruled by unreasonable and wicked people. Crazy people. If we had in-person voting, showing photo ID at the poll, dropping the completed ballot at the polling station when it's filled in. These could be periodically gathered during the day and counted as the day proceeds if the voter rolls were reasonably maintained and clear of dead, you know, deceased or vacated voters. We would not require 2 or 3 weeks to count ballots. You only need that much time if you're trying to cheat. And the people of California could have confidence in their election results once again. Only someone who benefits from a messy, complicated system full of vulnerabilities to election fraud would opt or would choose a system like this one that's used in California. Anyone can use any address to register to vote. They need no voter ID or any proof of citizenship. There is no statewide requirement that every ballot drop box be under 24/7 video surveillance. Fraud is encouraged by this in the same way that, well, if you leave your wallet on the front seat or dashboard of your car with a $100 bill exposed and, you know, the window down, the door unlocked, and then you wonder, who would come along and reach into my car and steal my wallet? Well, what can I say to you? You're a macaroon. I think capacity is an important qualification for exercising the judgment necessary to guide governance of our country through the election. If you don't have sufficient capacity to secure an ID and establish responsible residence in the community, I mean, you know, beyond a toilet address, really, If someone is on the government dole, if the only interest they have in voting is when somebody like Brenda Lee Brown Armstrong comes along to their sidewalk camp on Skid Row with their cartabago full of cans and junk and offers them some drug dollars or booze bucks for their signature on a voter registration form with her address on it, by the way, so she would receive the ballots. Well, you understand that this woman is being prosecuted on federal charges of voter fraud and that these people have insufficient capacity to participate in our elections. They should sit it out and concentrate on getting a job, joining the responsible citizens who have sufficient capacity to exercise the judgment necessary to decide the government's future. I know it's controversial to many, mostly Democrats, the party of Jim Crow slavery, of every ridiculous notion imaginable by perverse minds, gestating person, non-gestating person. Give me a break. The capacity is a legitimate concern, friend, and it has long been established in our election laws. For example, we restrain children from participation in our elections on that basis. And if some guy is strung out on fentanyl or meth or whatever, he or she is below the threshold of capacity to engage at that level of civic responsibility, which is the reason corrupt parties, whether they are Democrats, Republicans, Independents, or the Communist Party of the USA at all, recruit these very people who do not have capacity to act in their own interests or be expected to act in the interests of others. People whose interests are limited to getting their next fix, and then these fraudsters come along and use their vote to multiply their own influence in an election unfairly, literally stealing the votes of their neighbors. That's why they go into the slums and register homeless drug addicts to vote and then collect their ballots and use them to amplify their vote. All of this is stopped by citizenship registration, voter ID, paper ballots distributed at the polling station after verification of identity, and all of it done on election day. We need the SAVE Act now. Now here's a Fox 11 LA News post headlined, "Election Fraud Probes in California Announced by the U.S. Attorney Amid Rising Tensions Over Slow Vote Count." Well, that's not correct. That isn't the only concern. We'll have to wait for it, but the slowness of counting is concerning, but it's not the problem. It's the election fraud that goes on during the delayed counting. The first Assistant U.S. Attorney, Bill Esaley, announced that his office has opened multiple election fraud investigations in coordination with the FBI. Whoa! Now here's some bizarre California news. Military training operations continue in Los Angeles County neighborhoods. What? I'm trying to understand the juxtaposition of these two stories. At Pliny Hills Mall, loud booms and helicopters hovering overhead with troops rappelling to rooftops in full military battle rattle. What is going on? Retired U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Hal Kempfer, former intelligence officer, identified the helicopters by the distinctive aero refueling probes extending from the front of the machine. He said that appears only with, quote, certain units, end quote. He said these choppers are the sort used by the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, SOAR, known as Night Stalkers. This Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel explained that these were used in the raid that captured Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Hello? What are these guys preparing for? This isn't a normal kind of routine exercise. These training exercises are ongoing, by the way. They've been conducted in Long Beach, Pasadena, Pomona, and La Puente. I've never heard of military exercises being conducted by the Marines in our streets, Pliny Hills, Pomona, Long Beach. These are some of my old stomping grounds, friend. There's something happening here. And what it is, it ain't very clear. Let's enjoy a little Buffalo Springfield from 1966, shall we?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear.
All right. Meanwhile, back in Iran, the IRGC keeps proving it is not a trustworthy negotiator for any kind of deal we can trust or have confidence in with America. Apparently today, June 5, 2026, the Pentagon reports U.S. forces boarded a sanctioned or another sanctioned oil tanker. According to tankertrackers.com, the ship is carrying almost 2 million barrels of Iranian crude. This cargo was loaded onto the Davina, also called the Lenore, at Karg Island on March 20. It departed from the strait before the U.S. blockade was in place, and it has been evading detection off the coast of Sri Lanka for the last 6 weeks, turned its location signals off. On June 5, that's today, Friday, show prep day, United States Central Command reported, "We have rerouted a total of 129 commercial ships and disabled six, enforcing the U.S. blockade of Iranian shipping and ports." Now, for more information about our operations in enforcing the U.S. blockade on Iranian oil exports, look at the links in my notes. Meanwhile, as we come to conclusion here, the Iraniac regime has restored internet, at least partially. I've attached a link to a video that was sent out from Iran, from an Iranian, of course, with a sign he's holding in front of him as he drives in front of the camera. And it says, "People of Iran need to be armed." It's a message obviously directed to Americans. You can see it here in my notes, by the way. I know I've said this a lot, but it needs to be said again. My dear Iranians, declare your independence from the IRGC. Stipulate your reasons for repudiating their rule over you, and found your declaration upon the principle of the endowment doctrine. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Pick a leader to rally around, might be Ravi, who will be willing to help you frame a temporary constitution premised on the principle of consent of the governed. Select a tentative date for elections. Openly declare yourself a free and independent nation. Draft a Bill of Rights. Stipulate these are yours by divine endowment of God. They do not derive from man, and that government must not violate these rights or abridge them. Finally, you must be willing to die for your freedoms. Adopt Patrick Henry's declaration, "Give me liberty or give me death." Understand that freedom comes from truth and the spirit of liberty from Christ, the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see that they are on. You can email me from our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button, fill in the email information there and click send. You can leave a message for me in our listener response hotline, 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church. Please come visit us this Sunday for our anniversary service. Learn about the Lighthouse Baptist Church and the vision for what we believe God wants to do in and through our ministry in the years forthcoming.